All right, Congressman Kinzinger is joining us right now, and nothing to see here, Congressman, in Washington today. The big story, of course, is that you guys canceled your – you were going to be on break for a week or 2 weeks or whatever that was, right? And you're staying in session now to try to get things done. What is on the table?
Yeah, so right now we're kind of hammering out the final details between what another kind of coronavirus package looks like. Last week, I think, we passed $8 billion for – health funding, all that kind of stuff, and now we're just hammering out some final details. Nobody knows what this is yet because it's in the negotiation stage, but we're going to stay here until we pass that. And, you know, for the first time in 102 years, we're restricting visitors to the Capitol because of this. I actually think this is something, frankly, that should have been done about a week ago, but it's being done. So it's a, you know, it's serious time out here. You always have me on for the fun subjects, but it's something that people need to take quite seriously.
To that point, you get a lot of mixed messages here. There are mixed messages that are coming from some people in the administration. Some people are saying, hey, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. And then there's other people who are saying, like, you know, there's a difference between what you listen to when you hear the president talk about this, because I get it. He wants to keep people calm. He doesn't want panic. He wants to keep the markets calm. But that doesn't seem to be working as well. I think the information that, like, Anthony Fauci and people like that are putting out, where it's very direct and it's data-based, that this is what's happening, this is what we need to know about, that seems to be probably the better public policy.
You know, I agree, and I'll tell you, something changed yesterday, and there's nothing I can point to. It was just a tone, a feeling out here. The president wants to project calm because the markets and the economy reacts to panic. Mm-hmm. We don't want panic. But there's also, I think, a realization, and you know, history may show that maybe CDC ran a model and figured this out, that you know, we do need people, as bad as it is for the economy, to kind of hunker down now, because if we can delay or stop that kind of human-to-human contact, the thing that's causing the spread, it's basically what China did, quite honestly, but in a more commie way. But if we can stop that spread from happening, we can get this virus to plateau and then decrease. And that's the hope right here. And so I think leveling with the American people is important. But the other thing I also want to say is this. I think there's a lot of people that are frightened because, you know, personally, if they get coronavirus, you know, obviously that's concerning. For most people, it really will mimic a cold. So, you know, we get colds every year. It will mimic that. There are going to be people, 10 to 20%, that have more complications. And, of course, we know that even beyond that, there's going to be people that it's fatal for. And the concern is, you know, if we are clogging the already taxed healthcare system, the people that desperately need healthcare will be basically crowded out. So we're trying to stop this human-to-human transmission, and then we need to be clear about what to expect.
Heart attacks, strokes, car accidents, things like that are urgent medical needs, those still happen, and they're going to happen at the same rate. Close to the same rate. Obviously, there's a slowdown. There are more people hunkering down. So the car accident rate, you know, you hope would go down a little bit. But especially in this environment, people are stressed. They're freaked out. They're doing things that they wouldn't normally be doing, lugging water. Or, you know, we just learned that there's a toilet paper run here in Chicago heart attacks would certainly be not unexpected in this moment. So it is important to note that. Now, the issue that I think, I want to go back to this modeling of the CDC, because that's interesting. You see this in all the movies, by the way, and they talk about that, and in documentaries as well about pandemics, where you see these things growing in an exponential way, and it's a bell curve. They go real high, and then they come down. You can see it in the flu season and all of that. The difference here, and Dr. Jim Adams from Northwestern was on with us, and he said something, and I want to repeat this here. You know, we're talking about the difference between the flu and this. This is 10 times as deadly as the flu is on average, and it is, there's a 50% death rate with people over the age of 80. 50% will die from this. And so instead of having, he talked about the fact that just on average, if you have whatever number you want to pick, 200,000, 300,000 people die a year of complications from the flu, mostly elderly, you would have 300,000 people dying from this coronavirus. So that puts it in perspective, I think, I hope.
It does. And I think there's also a new realization of, you know, I had a conversation with one of my hospital groups in my district today, and it was sobering for me yesterday. You know, I'd always taken this, I think, more seriously than a lot of people, but I also was not trying to over-serious it. But yesterday it started out here, people had an understanding. And then when I got briefed by my hospital today, it was pretty sobering. You know, I think the thing we're coming to realize now, this is contagious for a lot longer than we thought. It can be contagious on one person, so the virus can shed, is the term, for up to 37 days. And your symptoms can last potentially up to 3 to 6 weeks. So it's not a cold in terms of that. It lasts a lot longer. And that's the problem with the spread. The other thing is it's highly contagious. It's not just touching a surface somebody touched. We also think there's some aerosol, you know, airborne part of it, which is why we're encouraging people to actually keep their distance from people, because this will slow it down. So as you said, you know, if we get out of this with 100,000 cases, that translates to whatever death rate. But if this isn't taken seriously, and if the president wouldn't have done what he did, you know, now it gets to 1 million, to, you know, 5 million, 200 million, and then you're talking about a massive, massive impact in the long term.
All right, Congressman Kinzinger, what do you think about the economic impact here?
Well, I think a couple things. I think it's going to be massive in the short term. The economy is shutting down. I do think, though, the fundamentals of the economy are very strong when it comes to all these other issues. The housing market's not collapsing like it did in 08. So I think when this is settled and contained, there's going to be a lot of capital on the side that reinvests in the market and reinvests in the economy. And so I think my feeling is you're going to see a very, very quick recovery with maybe not a lot of long-term damage. Of course, the longer this goes on, you know, the more deep that pain is going to be.
In terms of the president's travel ban, obviously you're supporting it. The European travel ban, is that?
Yeah, it's the Schengen area, and it's basically the area of Europe where they have no borders and no passport control outside of going in the first time. And they did a bad job of explaining this yesterday, you know, because people ask, well, why is the UK exempt? Well, the UK is exempt because it actually has border control on every entry point. Same with Ireland. It's not part of the Schengen area. And so the Schengen area, when you have, you know, Germany and Italy, especially with all their massive amount of cases, and people can free flow within that area and not have to go through other checks, that was the danger in it. And so I do support it. I think it's terrible that we have to do this, and hopefully we can lift it earlier than 30 days.
So all of the sports leagues and now entertainment, Broadway is shutting down. You've got every sports league, people are just joining us, they have either postponed or canceled their seasons. The NHL has suspended their season. NBA has suspended their season. These are all designed to try to do what you just explained a little bit ago, which is try to slow up the contagion level here and then get this under control so it doesn't overtax the system. That's why all of these big businesses that are going to have huge losses are taking those losses, because the long-term gain here is going to save hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of lives.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, again, it's a really miserable time. We've never been through anything like this, at least in 100 years. And but the thing to keep in mind is the faster all this gets locked down, the more we can starve this virus. It survives, but, you know, again, by hopping from person to person. Right. And the key is to lower that level of infection so that it's short term. One thing we have to be concerned about, you know, it will go dormant hopefully in the summer, but it will resurrect again in around September like a typical cold virus does. So the hope now is to lower this level of contagion and then, you know, get a vaccine hopefully pretty soon. And I think we actually may be closer to a vaccine than some think. We'll see.
Well, an antiviral is what we're hearing. Not even so much a vaccine, but actually a treatment for it. And again, because we have no immunity to it, that's the important thing.
All right.
Congressman, I hope that there is some bipartisan, this, you know, if there's one moment a crisis can bring people together who have been fighting for years.
There is nothing that has driven me more crazy than the partisanship on both sides in this. This is one moment. Let's just put the thing aside for once, you know.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
See you.
All right. We've got news from a Northwestern Medicine newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes.
It's the Financial Dave Halfway Point Pit Stop. The latest numbers, narratives, and trends that affect business in Chicago and around the world. The Wintrust Business Lunch, brought to you by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Tomorrow at noon on WGN Radio.